from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Coach Carl Reed is a college football analyst for 247 and CBS Sports. He's a former head football coach in the St. Louis area, former state champion, and he's a Run the Rock enthusiast on X at Coach Reed Live. Coach, what's happening? How are you?
What's going on, Gabe, my guy? What's going on with you, baby?
Nothing much, man. Hanging in there. Getting ready for football season. Hyped up, we're actually here.
Man, it's time. It's time for the talking season to be over, you know, and all the people to put their summer trophies up.
Right.
And put their equipment on and see if they really got what it takes to make it deep into the postseason.
Yeah, and it's time to stop talking about all the extracurriculars and actually start talking about ball. It's crazy how short our memory is once we actually see football played on Saturdays.
Absolutely. Ain't no question.
Yeah. Now, hey, I have to start right here because you've done a good job with this, talking about it the last couple of days. The Jim Harbaugh level one violation, 4-year show cause, you likened it on CBS Sports to a month after you graduate high school, your principal suspends you from the school. This is another example of the NCAA seemingly being toothless, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, really, who cares? At this point, while they were going through this deal last year, or I think the suspension was for COVID violations. It wasn't even for the Connor Stallions deal. But when he was the coach at Michigan, you know, they dealt with it. I know he got suspended for a couple of games, but to keep piling on and punishing Jim Harbaugh at this point, it's much to do about nothing. Like, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's strange to me. Because they have an opportunity, it feels like, to really hit them where it hurts. And we'll see what happens with the Connor Stallions investigation. But if you go after Sharon Moore, if you go after the program in general, he still wants to see Michigan succeed, but it doesn't feel like they're going to go about it that direction. Most of the reports I see from your colleagues at 247 and CBS Sports is more about a suspension for Sharon Moore, not much to do with the program. Maybe there'll be some probation. I don't know if they'll vacate wins, though, which I think would be hitting him where it hurts.
You know, you could suspend Sharon, I guess, for if he had any involvement in it, which is, I think, what they're really trying to allude to now, what his involvement or communication was with Connor. But I'm going to tell you what. Sharon knew when he took the job at the University of Michigan what he was taking. He knew what could be potentially coming down the line. I don't see it really even affecting him. Mm-hmm. Michigan beat everybody on the field a year ago. Even if you stripped them from the wins, nobody cares, man. Like, they won the national championship. It's over with. You had an opportunity, if you were going to do something with the evidence that you had, to do it a year ago, but, I mean, it's over with and behind you now. It's time for everybody to move on.
Do you think the NCAA is out of the business of vacating wins, though, at this point? That's the real question I have about the rest of the way this is going to unfold.
Well, I don't know if they're out of the business of vacating wins, but with all the rule changes, the things that you could get punished for are less and less because there's basically no rules anymore, right? Mm-hmm. When you think about the things that guys would get punished for, cheating on the ACT, well, they don't got to take the ACT no more. Recruiting violations for paying guys, well, guys can get paid now, you know? So from those type of things that you would get that type of violation for, those rules don't even exist anymore. So I don't think that now they're going to be in a position to have to vacate wins from anyone.
Yeah. Do you think Michigan as a football program, and I'm honestly Sharon Moore, do you think they'll come out on the other side still golden? Do you think they'll be okay by the time this all passes through? They'll still be one of the powers in college football? Or do you think this is going to be pretty ugly for the next couple of years?
I mean, they're going to be fine. I mean, it's hard to win in football. That's going to be more about can they still recruit at a high level. If they're not winning, it'll be because they took a bad step in their program and Harbaugh left. It won't be because the NCAA is bothering them about something that they've already shown you they don't care about anyway. I just saw a report somewhere where Michigan named Harbaugh an honorary captain for the first game.
Yeah, a little middle finger.
Yeah, like nothing says I don't care about what you say more than that, right?
Yep. Yep.
So right now, the NCAA, when it comes to Michigan, they got to be, like, swinging at the air in their room right now.
Yep, for sure. Now, do you think Sharon Moore, what do you think about Sharon Moore, the head football coach, and how do you think it's going to be with him taking over this year? What do you think that Michigan football program looks like a year removed from a national championship?
Well, they're going to still be a good football team. I don't know if they have a national championship team, but that's because of the losses that they had. You lost your quarterback. You lost some significant pieces. But Sharon has been with Harbaugh. He's been in that same system. Even when Harbaugh left Stanford, David Shaw won for a long time. He kept that thing going. So I think everything is in place for the program to keep going. Are they going to win a national championship? I mean, man, those things are hard to win. So I wouldn't say that.
Yep. No, we'll see what happens with them. But talking with Carl Reed at Coach Reed Live on X from 247 and CBS Sports. Now, one of the things I really value your opinion on is the recruiting ranks. So we look at the transfer portal, how NIL is affecting it, and the high school recruiting ranks. Now, you are not that far removed from being a state championship level high school head football coach. How much has recruiting at the high school level changed, and what are those big changes?
Well, it's changed from a standpoint that if you're a borderline prospect, you're probably not going to get a Division I scholarship anymore. And you used to see guys that, you know, maybe their frame was a little slight. They might have been a step slow, and you felt like with a red shirt and some development that you may can take that guy and, you know, and get him going. But you just don't have time to develop guys anymore. So because you don't have the time to develop guys like that, those guys now end up just starting FCS. They might sneak in the G5, but you're going to have guys that are going to have to go to a lower level and prove themselves before they get a call up to the big leagues. Now,
Yeah, the Gabe Kuhns no longer getting recruited to Memphis anymore. That's what we're looking at.
It's over for you guys. But I'm going to tell you what. If you go ball somewhere first, you know, you can end up being one of the top recruits in the country. I mean,
right.
Thank God, guys that jump out of my head, A.J. Cornelius, a guy who started off at Rhode Island, who's started at offensive tackle for Oregon now, and he's going to be a first or second round draft pick. We all talked ad nauseum about Jared Verse from Florida State and Cody Schrader and those guys. So that's kind of the new thing. Where you can get those guys from, and you're not going to miss as much if you take a guy with college experience as you might with a guy that is coming out of high school.
Yeah. Now with that sort of being the way we do things, if you ball at a lower level, you can end up still in the Power Four. You can still end up at a great program. With your conversations with coaches around the country, how much does that frustrate them when they're at a lower level, say like here in Memphis, and they end up getting their players poached that they developed? It still feels like there's a lot of coaches getting used to that are still frustrated by it.
You can be frustrated, but you better adapt, adjust, and move on.
Yep.
Like, it's going to happen. If you have a guy and he's a first or second team all-conference guy, he's gonna get paid to go to a higher level. It just is what it is. And so you have to constantly be ready to wherever you're pulling those players for. I actually think for schools like Memphis and other Group of Five and FCS schools, this is the perfect time for them to probably get a better high school player than what they would have been able to get in the past, because those guys' options are limited if they're not a top 100 guy. So I would look at it from that. I would embrace it. I would be a guy that says, hey, if you come here and you make first team all conference and you have the ability to move on, you know, we'll help you, you know, and then I would just keep it going like that. I wouldn't fight against it. Because the more you fight against it, man, you just can't stop it in a market like this, the way that it's set up.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you have a great relationship with Dan Lanning over at Oregon, certainly with Deion Sanders at Colorado. Now holler at me about, with this new recruiting, with this new age, which coaches around the country do you think handle it the best? Do you have a little short list for me?
Well, you know, obviously when you see Dan and what he's doing, and he's recruiting at such a high level, and he's also in a position where he can also get the best high school players because he's at a name brand school. So you got to understand this: it's about the coach, and it's kind of also about the school they recruit. It's tougher to get a top 20 type player to go to Colorado than it is to get them to go to Oregon or Ohio State or USC. So Coach Prime has embraced the transfer portal much more. And Lanning has embraced it as well, too. He's gotten some really good ads. I just mentioned Major Cornelius. You got Evan Stewart. You got Dylan Gabriel. He's done some great things. But he's also been able to recruit at the high level, at a high school level. But look at what Ohio State did this year. Add Caleb Downs. I mean, Caleb Downs and Will Howard could be the two pieces that solidify them, you know, to finally get over the hump against Michigan and maybe win a national championship, you know, if everything goes correctly. So it's just a matter of preference. It's also a matter of availability and positional need. You know, you can get in a situation where you got to fill a spot and you're going to go after the very best guy you can get, you know, whether it's a high school kid or a transfer portal guy.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at the top of the sport this year, on the field, what we're actually going to see, I think there's this assumption that you have Georgia and Ohio State at the top, and those will be the two teams battling it out to go win a national championship. But outside of that, like, how much parity do you think we have at the top of the sport this year?
We're never going to have parity in college football.
Okay, understood.
You're going to have the same 6 to 8 teams year in and year out competing for national championships, because those teams are committed to winning championships. Not just those teams, those schools and those administrations and the resources they provide, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the USCs, the Oklahomas, Texas. It's like, it's a small group of schools, Ohio State and Michigan, that they want to play for national championships. So it doesn't matter if you have a 4-team playoff or a 12-team playoff, or if you expand it to 24, you're going to consistently see the same programs when it's all said and done in that Final Four with a chance to win it all.
Yeah, so those two teams I just mentioned, Ohio State and Georgia, when we're talking about the national championship, I know it's really early. We haven't seen anybody actually play on the field against another team in another color. But if I said Georgia and Ohio State are the field, which way are you picking?
I'm going to go with Georgia or Ohio State.
Okay.
I mean, as long as they stay healthy. Because, see, things can change, Gabe. You, like,
right.
If Jameson Williams doesn't get hurt, Alabama has one more national championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Marvin Harrison doesn't go down, Ohio State probably beats Georgia. Like, so you still, no matter how good a team looks on paper, you still got to play these games because a lot of things can happen that can influence the game. That's what makes college football so exciting. You know, you're in a situation where you're like, man, Jameson Williams is really going to put Alabama on his back, and they're going to win a national championship. He tears his ACL, right? Marvin Harrison is almost single-handedly beating Georgia, and he goes out the game. And, like, those things can happen. So, you know, if you look in a perfect world and nobody gets hurt and everybody stays healthy, you know, it could be one way, or you can go in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at, like, the expansion of the playoff and the more games that are going to be being played, you already brought up injuries. How much do you think this offseason for a lot of these big-time programs has been about sort of understanding, trying to figure out how they're going to manage these things late in the season? Because this is going to be a massive adjustment for a lot of programs.
Well, if it goes to an NFL model, if you've already qualified for the playoff, you might rest guys.
Right.
You know, towards the
end. A little load management?
You might see what you got to do. So it just depends. It's new territory, so we don't really know how guys are going to handle that yet. But it's guys' NFL stock on the line. There's a lot of possibilities that could happen in those situations.
Yeah. Now, looking at the Group of Five ranks, we're here in Memphis, and I'm curious. Obviously, we get caught in the echo chamber a lot of the time talking about a certain team. We're selling a bunch of hope here in Memphis. You know, hope springs eternal. We get that. But what do you think about this team and the way this program is trending from the outside looking in?
Well, Memphis, they've been doing a good job the last several years from Mike Norvell being there, the transition into Coach Silverfield. And, you know, I think that that Memphis is well positioned because when it comes to NIL, they are one of the rare group of fives that actually has some resources where you can get guys. It's all about can you recruit. What has hurt Memphis and what's always hurt them is the fact that they are in the middle of the hotbed of recruiting for the SEC.
Yep.
So it's much harder for them to keep their good prospects at home because if a guy is really good in Memphis, he's going to probably end up playing in the SEC. So if I was Memphis, I think that Memphis is the kind of city and place to play that some guys from other major cities that might not have being an SEC blueprint, they might want to come and play and live in a place like Memphis. If you remember Calipari's great basketball teams, they were not loaded with Memphis guys. You know, like, when you think about the team that went to the national championship, none of those starters and key guys were from Memphis, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I mean? Andre Allen played a little bit. Pierre Niles was on that team. Everybody else was, you know, Derrick Rose from Chicago, CDRs from Detroit, you know. So you don't have to be from Memphis to play for the Memphis Tigers. So I think that they do have a unique situation because they can attract some guys from an NIL standpoint, but they might not be able to get the best player from Memphis at the same time because of the SEC blueprint.
Yeah, now somebody brought this up, and they basically called it FedEx money. The FedEx NIL situation that we saw unfold this offseason, $5 to $7.5 million a year. Now, I know that doesn't stack up with Oregon, Georgia, Alabama. I know it doesn't stack up with them. But when we look at the Power Four and the NIL funds that they have coming in, where does that $5 to $7.5 million per year stack up with some of those, you know, middle-tier Power Four schools? Like, when you sort of stack them up next to the Ole Misses of the world, the Tennessees, you know, schools like that, where does that $5 to $7.5 million go? How high is that in the country?
Well, it doesn't stack up with those guys at all. But what it does is it puts you out in the front of the Group of Five schools.
Right.
So you're still not in the place when you're going to be able to outbid a SEC or a Big Ten school that wants a kid, right? But you are at a place where you're going to be out in front of everybody that's at the level that you're playing in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. I also think, like, what about some of these lower tier Power Fours? Like, when we look at the middle to the bottom of the ACC, middle to the bottom of the Big 12, where does it stack up there? Is it on par or still a little
less? You're not listening to
okay,
me.
Okay, all right.
You're a Memphis homer.
I got you.
It don't stack up with those schools. right? But it does put you out in front, right? Because what you want to also, if you Memphis, where you got to be careful of, you can't overpay when you need too many players, right? So you can't go too high on one kid, you know, to say maybe he's a special quarterback or a special skill guy, but then you can't get a left tackle.
Right.
Or right guard. Like, those things, your roster management becomes super important. I think I was talking to a buddy of mine that I'm really close to that is a basketball guy in Memphis. And I think the biggest problem that Memphis fans have is they want to be on the SEC Power Four.
Sure. So, yeah, that's the aspirational goal.
And you guys see yourselves as that. And I know that a lot of it comes from the way Calipari spoiled you guys in basketball when he had them.
That's fair.
At such a high level. But until you can get conference affiliation in one of those power conferences, it is a mid-major program.
Right.
You know, and that's no disrespect, you know, intended. But
of course,
when you start talking about, it's easier to compete in basketball because there's less guys. So you can come out and get an impact, right, on the basketball side of it. You can add you one or two guys, and they can completely change the situation. Football is a little harder to do that.
Yeah. Now, when we look at the aspirational goal for this program, this athletic department, to try to get to a better situation, how attractive do you think this program is?
I think that Memphis is a pretty attractive program. I would have to do the research, though,
right,
on why they and all the roster and why in all the conference realignment they haven't been added to one of the conferences. That's something that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because on the outside looking in, it looks like they fit the profile, but they haven't been added, and there's been a ton of movement and a ton of guys going up. So that is interesting.
Yeah, I think here in Memphis, our thought process has been, you know, we don't even have cautious optimism anymore. It's just sitting back and understanding, hey, they probably won't actually make that boat. I do think this year, though, in basketball and football, pretty big inflection point for both those programs to show that they're more attractive.
Absolutely. So you got to keep putting it on the field.
Yep.
Man. You got to keep going.
Yeah, control the controllables. I know how cliche and corny that is, but it's the truth of the matter. Talking with Carl Reed at Coach Reed Live on X. Now, I want to talk about my home state program, the Missouri Tigers. Now, they have a great NIL situation where they have, you know, unlike anybody else, if they get a player from in-state to commit or sign to them, that player can get paid in high school. How well has Aliyah Drinkwitz, how well has that program fared the past couple of years in the recruiting ranks and then also on the field going into this year? It feels like they have a really easy schedule. They may not be as good a team as they were a year ago, but I think that record will reflect pretty well for them.
Well, first off, Gabe, there are no easy schedules in the SEC.
True. Okay.
That's that. But he has mastered recruiting in the NIL transfer portal era, and the businesses in the state of Missouri they're committed as anywhere in the country, and he's been able to recruit. He's been able to manage his roster, and he's also been able to take it to the field. There's a lot of guys who can recruit that still can't take it to the field. He's been able to build a culture in his locker room during an era where it's extremely hard to build and keep culture, and he's been able to keep that going.
Yeah. Now, final thing I want to ask you, with the relationship you have with Coach Prime, you got to hang out with him this summer. How do you feel about that program? What's the confidence level for them and from you that they will be into a bowl game, get over the hump this year?
I think that they have a really good team, you know, coming back with the players that they return and the pieces that they've added, especially with the guys that they've added up front on the offensive line. I think they'll make it to a bowl game this season for sure.
Okay. All right. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be very interesting to watch, because if they get it done and have this 2-year turnaround where they're making a bowl game after winning one game 2 years ago, it does sort of change the game a certain amount. I think that a lot of people have already looked at it and sort of tabbed it as an experiment. But if they make a bowl game, it's less of an experiment and more of a success story, isn't it?
Well, I think that from being around Coach Prime the way that I have, and just being around coaches in general, and you're a football guy, you got to understand this.
Sure.
You can't worry about changing narratives.
Yep.
You can't worry about what people think. Who cares what people think? You know, most people don't know anything about football anyway, right? So whatever you set out to do in life, man, you got to do it, and you got to stay focused on it, and you got to stick to your plan regardless of what anybody may or may not say.
Yep, yep. Now, last year, final thing, we were in a run the rock era with Michigan. Are we gonna have a similar situation this year with Georgia or Ohio State or whoever? Is running the rock back? Is it back in style? I know it never left for the most part, but it feels like, you know, that era from about 2015 to 2019, we were just airing it out, doing all these pass concepts. Feels like running the rock. We know that football's cyclical. It feels like it is completely back.
Any team that's competing for a championship runs the ball and plays great defense. You can look up whatever number or base it on whatever metric you want. You can think that it looks one way, but I'm telling you it's really another. If you study and learn your history, anybody that watches college football or football at any level, the high school level, the college level, the NFL level, any team that can consistently compete for championships, they can run the ball and play great defense.
Yep. Yep, Run the Rock enthusiast Carl Reed has joined the program. Appreciate you carving out some time. Let's do this again soon.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.